Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to Fritz and Friends this Monday evening. I'm Cheryl Fritz along with producer Scott Eckersley, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Derek Walbank, who is the Washington correspondent with the Min Post. Good evening, Derek. How are you?
Not too bad, Cheryl. How are you?
Pretty exciting time in Washington since last evening, isn't it?
Exciting's the word for it. Yeah, tiring's another one.
But, you've been writing all day?
Oh, all day and all last night and all that. But man, what a story! You know, the president never has a news conference at 10:30, in the evening on a Sunday, and it's just so incredibly unusual. So when the White House let us know that that was going to happen, they gave us about an hour's notice, and I think everyone just really. You know, they didn't really say at that time what was going on, but I think we all sort of had an understanding just by the sheer time of it that this was a big deal.
You didn't have any inkling, obviously, then what was to come. I mean, nobody did.
Well, no, not for a little while until, it would have been getting close to 10:30 when people started coming out with details, and they said, well, this is not... You know, this is something to do with national security. And then they said, well, this is not to do with Libya. And then then I think people started putting two and two together, and they started running through the options of what else could this be. I started hearing rumors about bin Laden, and then a little bit before the president actually came out, that became confirmed that it was him. And boy, what an announcement, 8 years to the day after the mission accomplished declared nine and a half coming on 10 years after September 11th. It was a momentous day and a momentous evening. And I think the crowds in the streets outside the White House and outside Ground Zero are a testament to that.
Well, and that's some of what I wanted to talk to you about with you being there. What is it that you're seeing and witnessing? Are there pretty large crowds that had gathered outside the gates, as we had heard?
Well, there were, yeah. It started out just being a few people, and everyone's following along via Twitter and Facebook, and did you hear this and did you hear that as news organizations were starting to confirm it. And then one by one, as we figured it out and were able to confirm it, the word started to spread and more people started coming and coming and coming, and they were singing the Star Spangled Banner and they were chanting "Yes, we can." It was an amazing scene of unity because there were those Tea Party Gadsden flags flying around as the crowd was chanting "Yes, we can" outside the gates of the White House, and it was an amazing thing to see those two symbols together at the same time. I don't know how long that'll last, but it was quite a sight to see.
Well, and we have been hearing that throughout the day and seeing that, watching various news channels and watching gatherings of people, people united again as we were after September 11th. It didn't matter what side you came from, this was an American day.
It was, it was an unquestioned success in terms of what happened, but I think the president noted, and it's something that I think everyone's very keenly aware of, is that this isn't the end of the story. He was one person, and the threat of terrorism is a lot more than just one person, and he's found deep inside Pakistan, and that presents its own range of questions. He was not in Afghanistan. He was in a country we're not fighting a war inside, and inside one that was supposed to be that is supposed to be a key ally of ours in the region. And the compound he was in is actually about a mile and a half or so away from Pakistan's version of their military academy. So it almost would have been as if he was found in their equivalent of West Point, and so there's some questions that are being raised about that. So, there's a lot of tricky stuff to come, but certainly for one evening, I think a lot of people allowed themselves to just take in that moment and realize that almost 10 years after 9/11, that the guy who dreamed that up was finally finally done for.
The location was, as you just alluded to, was a surprise for everyone where this took place.
Well, there were some indications that he had moved into Pakistan for a while, but I think it was the proximity to the military academy there that in a very military heavy town, I think that's where a lot of the questions are. And it's a rather big compound for someone to be in, it seems like, with no knowledge. So certainly a lot of questions going forward.
And what are you hearing on the Hill from legislators as you're in the halls today?
Well, honestly, Cheryl, it's elation pretty much across the board. In my delegation, we have the first Muslim member of Congress, and he put out a statement hailing the move, and we have veterans, and they were very excited about that. We actually have a guy who used to carry the nuclear football for President Reagan, and he came out with a statement praising the troops and their dedication. So across the diverse range, a lot of praise for the troops who carried out the mission, Tim Pawlenty and Mitt Romney, leading Republican candidates in 2012, came out and said that President Obama deserves some commendation for his role in all of this, and so there was a little bit of bipartisanship there as well.
And that was the next area I was going to go with you is the congratulations and the support from across the aisle.
Yeah, it really was a bit of a rare respite from the politics of every day, which is not to say that they're going to stay far away. The United States is projected to reach its debt ceiling sometime later this month. There are some tricks and things that the Treasury Department can pull, but we're expected to hit the absolute can't mess with this anymore debt ceiling sometime in the summer. And there's going to have to be some decisions made after that. September 30th is the D-Day for the federal budget, and the two sides are miles apart on that. And then, we get into presidential campaign season. So partisanship will eventually return. It probably will return very quickly. But this was a bit of a respite, and I think it was a reminder for a lot of people who had really questioned, and with some good reason, whether or not this day would actually ever come. It seemed like 10 years is an awful long time to wait when you have the largest, most powerful nation in the world hunting for one dude. And so I think a lot of people had given up hope on that, and so it was certainly a powerful thing to see some of that hope flicker back.
Do you hear people talking about concern over some form of retaliation?
Slightly, but only in the way that I hear it in terms of in terms of that sort of constant vigilance. I think Washington D.C. is a place where, obviously we had one plane go into the Pentagon here, and we also had another plane go down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, that people say was either headed for the Capitol or the White House. So I think people here live under that expectation that there's that little extra security. And so it might be a little different than other places. But in that sense of constant vigilance, yes, although I didn't see too many people who appeared very worried at it as they held their American flags aloft and were chanting and screaming into the wee hours.
And the mood there this evening is we're day one into this after the reaction?
I think it's a honeymoon right now. I really do.
That's a good word.
I don't know how long it'll last, but I think there's a lot more happiness there in Washington D.C. than there was 2 days ago, and certainly than there will be later this week and as we get back into the swing of things.
Well, and the details are still coming out over some of what actually occurred over the weekend. And I had just heard, I was actually flying today, and so was missing it and then trying to catch up on pieces of it through the airport and finding Wi-Fi where I could. Details coming out that it was indeed his wife has been reported that he was trying to shield himself with.
I know, isn't that messed up?
The thing is that there's
a range of hypocrisies that go on with that, and my own editorial comments can be clearly inferred from that. But
yeah.
But I think that sort of stuff is somewhat expected with some of these things. There are a lot of people who go out there and make a lot of claims about what ought to be done in the world, and then you get into their little lives, and boy, they just don't live up to that, do they? And I think this is an example of it that happens all around, and it happens with these terrorist extremists. The problem is, some people do that, and it's of little consequence. These folks try and do that, and they try and go blow up buildings and kill thousands of innocent people on a clear September morning, and all in the name of somebody who, when the chips were down, was living in a much more opulent compound than his followers, and who was willing to let anybody else take the bullet for him because that's just the sort of person he was. And I think it's an object lesson, but I don't know who's going to heed it.
Well, and boy, is that a good point. Derek, I appreciate your time this evening. I know your fingers were moving faster than most anybody else's today, getting the stories out in the Minnesota Post. So I certainly appreciate your time and your perspective this evening from Washington. Thank you, as always.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you so much, Derek. Derek Walbank, who is a Washington correspondent for the Min Post, coming to us live from Washington, D.C. this evening. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.